Morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning. Strange times. First time I've ever had to do a talk like this into a camera. But we give God the glory for everything that we do and everything we say. So we should come before the Lord in prayer before we start. So Lord, Heavenly Father, just praise your glorious, your wonderful name. Thank you for this precious time that we are living in, Lord. Amazing times. And we just, before we come to your word, just ask that you make our hearts ready to hear your voice, Lord, to hear your words, and not just to hear them, but to act upon them. So I ask that you take everything of me away, and let it all be of you. Let my words be your words, Lord, and in everything that we do and say, we just bring glory to your mighty, mighty name. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. I was looking at some scriptures over the couple of weeks, and it kept getting led to Matthew. And I noticed that when they asked for signs, Jesus replied twice to them, "You're not going to get any sign whatsoever except for the sign of Jonah." So that started me praying about it. The Lord used Jonah twice, so we're going to have a look at Jonah today. So if you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 13, and he says the first time he mentions it is in verse 38, and he says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here.'" Amen. And the second time he mentions it is a few chapters on, in chapter 16, in verse 4. Again, they're asking for a sign. You know, the miracles he was doing every single day that they must have seen, and they're still asking for a sign. They're still goading him all the time. And again, he says, "I'm not going to give you any other sign except for the sign of Jonah." So if we turn to the book of Jonah and started reading Jonah, it's only a short book. He's a prophet of Israel. And it covers 4 chapters. Now with Jonah, when I was looking at Jonah, I discovered he's a prophet of Israel. And the main point of his story was to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel to them, God's love, and for them to repent. Now Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria was very, very infamous for its cruelty. It's the historical nemesis of Israel. And it was founded by Nimrod, the grandson of Noah. Possibly the largest city at the time. And it took 3 days to walk around it. That's how big it was. And in a nutshell, the story, repentance came to the city. But later on, after that generation had passed, destruction did come. Some say between 100 and 150 years later, destruction did come to that city. However, they did repent. So when we look at the story of Jonah, I'm going to go through some points, and then have a little talk about it. First time we meet Jonah is in 2 Kings 14. It's mentioned as a prophet of Israel, but the only time we see actually what he did, or what was taught about him in depth, was in the actual book of Jonah. So he's called by God to go to a pagan city to preach the message of repentance. He went the other direction. He didn't go where God wanted him to go. Didn't want to do it. And he tried to flee from the presence of God, it says. And then God sent a great wind on the sea. Jonah, he was asleep in the belly of the boat. and the sailors had cried out to their gods. Nothing was happening. Storm was getting worse and worse. So they woke Jonah up and asked him to pray to his god to see if he could help. Then the sailors cast lots to see what was causing the problem, and it fell on Jonah. Jonah told them who he was, where he was from, and what he was supposed to have been doing, and the true God that he believed in. And then the sailors became very, very afraid. And Jonah had told them what to do. He said, throw me overboard, it'll sort it. But they were scared. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to kill him. They didn't want to drown him in the sea. But it says then that the sailors prayed to the God of heaven for mercy and to see what they should actually do. And eventually they cast lots. Lots fell on Jonah. And reluctantly they threw him overboard. And it says, as soon as they threw him overboard, the sea ceased, the storm stopped. But from that, it says the sailors believed and they were fearful in the God of Jonah because of what had happened. And God then had prepared a fish, great fish, to swallow Jonah. And then Jonah was to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. It says that he prayed from the belly of the fish and he cried unto the God for mercy. And God spoke to the fish and it vomited them out onto the dry land. Again, God spoke to him a second time, go to Nineveh, go and preach repentance. This time he obeyed God. This time he went. Preached the message for 3 days throughout the whole of Nineveh. As I said before, they say that it was one of the largest cities at the time, if not the largest. And it took 3 days to walk around the city. So he was obviously preaching the gospel, preaching repentance to them for 3 days as he went around the city so everyone could hear what he was saying. And it says, one of the scary things said that he knew how long they had before God's judgment was fallen. It said Nineveh only had 40 days left before the judgment of God was going to fall. But because Jonah had heeded God's word and he talked about repentance, he preached repentance, it says the people believed Jonah's message. And not only the people, but the king of Nineveh also heard it, and he believed as well. And it said they all put on sackcloth, ashes, and fasted, and they cried to God for mercy. And you've got to think, this is a real, real pagan city. Enemies of Israel, enemies of God. And yeah, through the preaching of Jonah, they were crying to his God from the heart. It was true repentance. It wasn't I won't do it again. It was true repentance, and God can see that. God can see your heart. He can see what's going on. And because of this true repentance, judgment was averted. God said, okay, I've heard their cries. I'm not going to do what I was going to do to them. And then there's a bit of a turn in the story then, that you think Jonah would have been ecstatic. You know, he's heard God. God said, go preach repentance to this city. They've heard him and they've repented. But he become angry, it says. He was displeased at God's actions and didn't want God's grace and mercy to fall on the Gentiles. And Jonah still expected judgments. It said he went and sat outside the city and looked at it to see, waiting for God to do his great judgments on it. And then God creates a plant. Plant comes up, shades Jonah. He's happy with that, but then God creates a worm. Worm comes, destroys the plant, and then he creates a vehement east wind to blow on Jonah, to the point where Jonah wished that he was dead. And God's chastisement to Jonah was right, and it also shows of his everlasting love for humanity, his divine love, and that even this horrendous pagan city can come to repentance. But they need to hear the word. They need to hear the voice of God. They need to hear a messenger with that message. Can that be you? Is that us today in these crazy times? And the story also shows you that Jonah had more concern and indignation for a simple plant than for human beings. He was so concerned with this plant, you know, it'd give him shade, and he was more concerned about that dying than he was of these people. And then God heaps more coals on his head, and he says, you know, there's over 120,000 children who don't know the left from the right. So that's suggesting that they're only toddlers, they're only probably under five. 120,000 children, and you're more concerned about a plant. 120,000 children, both parents be there, maybe older brothers and sisters, grandmas and granddads. You could be looking at possibly 500,000 people. 500,000 people, and he's more concerned with a plant. And again, this shows the power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no boundaries to it. There's no boundaries whatsoever. When he sees the true heart, he hears the cry, he opens the door to them. What an absolute and loving God we've got. This is a time when we should be really on our knees praying to God. He is a mighty God. He needs people to go out. He needs someone to pass that message on. Are we going to be like Jonah? Are we going to be the one that passes the message on? Or are we going to run the other way? And what you find with this is, you find in any situation that we're put in, how do you respond? Usually your initial response is what's in the heart. You know, are we going to run the other way? I'm not going there. Why should I go there? They hate you. They're pagans, whatever they might be. Or are you going to hear God? Are you going to listen to God? Are you going to listen to what he's actually saying to you? And do it. When he went the other way, calamity struck. Everything went wrong. And then when he went the right way, repentance, what Lord said, happened. When I was reading this story, the thing that really popped out was that Jonah's whole attitude to the situation was exposed by a plant and a worm. Two of the smallest things on the planet, and yet God used them to expose what was really truly in his heart. So when we're going through trials, or what we're going through now with these very, very strange prophetic times, is the Lord revealing what's really deep in our hearts? How are we reacting to what's going on? Are we trying to run the other way? Or are we making a stand for the Lord? Are we passing that message on? Are we proclaiming to him, to others, who he is? As I said before, Jonah was concerned more about a plant than 120,000 children, possibly 500,000 people. And it said the city repented. Can you imagine what could happen if we did something like that? God wants, again, right through the Old Testament, right through New Testament, God showing his love outshines everything. You know, he wants everybody with him in heaven, in glory. He doesn't want anybody to miss out. He wants everybody with him. That's why he's holding back and holding back. You think that it's taken a long time, but it's because of his love and his grace to mankind. He wants everybody to call out to him. He doesn't want anyone to die, and he wants to have an eternity without him. And we've got to be in that position to tell people. If they listen or not, that's beside the point. We've got to pass that message on. Jesus wanted to make disciples of us. That's what he did. He made disciples. And that we have to go out, it says, and make disciples of other people. For him, You know, he gets all the nothing from us. It's all him. We get nothing, no glory whatsoever. It's all his glory. And that's why every single time we should be sharing the gospel, however small it might be, however big it might be. It might just be a tract, it might be a CD, it might be a quick talk, a couple of minutes, it might be sitting with someone for an hour, you don't know. But you've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. That tiny little opportunity. And we should be alert in the spirit for those opportunities so that we know that's what I need to do. I'm not forcing it on anyone. I'm not pushing myself on anyone. I'm just waiting for that little tiny opening. They ask a certain question, bang, I'm in. Here's the gospel. This is why this is happening. This is what. This is who Jesus is. And we've got to be doing this more and more. It says through scripture, you know, we might feel scared. We might feel weak. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. But it's in our weakness. That's when he's strong. And that's what we've got to grasp onto. It's not us. It's him. It's all him. Nothing of us whatsoever. It's all of him. And we are weak. We're never going to do anything on our own. It's got to be him. And all the glory has got to go to him as well. It's nothing we've done. He went to the cross and he died on the cross. He went all the way and he cried from the cross, it's finished. Because he had done it. He had listened to the Father and he had done it. And he's going to come back. He's coming back soon. You watch these times today and prophecy is being unveiled right before our eyes on a daily basis. You're reading scripture or you're listening to the news and you know, if you're reading the way, that's that. It's happening so fast. Israel's been back in the land since 1948. That was the big one. The prospering. And we've got to be ready. The Lord is coming back. He's coming back anytime. He could take us anytime. Are we ready for him? When you look at that story again, what happened, you know, right from the start, there was pagan sailors cried out to the God of Jonah. Pagans, we don't know what's going to happen when we speak to somebody. We've got to put all our, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. If I say this to them, they might say, it's all the Lord. It's all the leading of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is just proclaim the good news. Pagan sailors, it said, gave glory to God in the passage. A pagan city, possibly 500,000 people. Pagan king, all giving glory to God. All because Jonah preached repentance. And when you look at that name, with that book, sorry, right the way through it, there's 10 miracles. Probably a lot more, but there was 10 miracles that really stand out in that book. And it just shows you how amazing our God is. You know, it says, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea when Jonah was in the boat. The lot from the sailors, it fell on Jonah. As soon as they threw him into the sea, the sea ceased. It says instantly the sea ceased from its raging. But prior to that, another miracle, the Lord had prepared a fish, a giant fish, which swallowed Jonah alive. Then again, the Lord speaks to the fish, and the fish does exactly what the Lord says. Vomited him, not into the sea, onto dry land. Again, with the repentance, God saw this, another miracle. He's seen the change in their heart. They changed, truly changed in the heart. We can't see that. We can only see what we see in front of us. But God sees the heart. And he knows when someone is truly sorry. When there's a true repentance in the heart. And he hears every single heart that cries out to him. However pagan, however demonic we've been in our lives. He hears that repentant heart. Going on from that, the Lord then prepares a plant. From the plant, he prepared a worm to destroy the plant. And then God prepares an east wind, a vehement east wind, it says. So all these, again, these miracles, God is in total control of every situation. And when you read the book, a couple of questions came to me was, what type of Christian should we be when we see what's going on around us, especially today? you know, we can only go out for a certain time. There's no fellowship anymore. All the shops are shut. We're hearing different things on the news. We're inside now. It's like a lockdown completely. You know, how should we still react as Christians? Do we just stick our head in the sand and go, I can't do anything, I'm in the house? We can pray. We can read the word. We've got phones. We can text our friends. We can text people. We can talk to people, family, whatever it might be. And when you know God, should we heed his voice or should we run the other way like Jonah did? He had the choice. You can listen to what I've said and go and do it. He didn't, because he had this preconceived idea of these people. Pagans hated them. They hated Israel. Israel hated them. Why are you sending me there? I can't stand these people. They're evil. They're pagan. They don't know you. They don't love you. But God's going, I'm telling you to go. What are we going to do? And the verse that popped out when I was looking at that was Jeremiah, verse 20. Chapter 20, I'll just read that to you. Chapter 20, and it's verse 9. And it says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Are we like that? Do we have that word of the Lord burning in our hearts that it's got to come out? We can't hold it back anymore. It's like if you keep holding on and holding on, it's just going to explode. We've got to let it out. Or are we like Jonah and just, I'll go the other way. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear God. What would happen then? What would happen to that city? If Jonah hadn't gone, God's judgment would have come. The rest is history. We don't know what would have happened. But are we like that in Jeremiah? Is the word of the Lord burning in our heart to get it out? Is the desire to read his word burning in our heart to get into his word? Never ever has there been a time when we should be in the word of the Lord than today, listening to what he's saying, reading his word. That's where the peace is in these crazy times. I was talking to people the other week and we were just discussing what was going on. And I said, I can't explain it, but there's peace. The whole world's going crazy. I see it in my own family. I see it in the streets. People are going crazy. They don't know what to do. There's fights in supermarkets over toilet rolls. You can't get certain cleaners anymore. But there's a peace. Peace that passes all understanding. If we try and sat down and analyse it, you'd be there for eternity. We don't know. It's the peace of the Lord. That's what it is. It's the peace through the Holy Spirit that he gives us. To know that he's in control, that it's all right. Whatever's going on, however crazy it gets, he is in control. Right through Jonah, the Lord was in control of every situation. Whatever the decision we make, he's in control. Are we listening to him? That's the point. Are we listening to him? And with Jonah, he tried to flee away from God. Can we ever flee away from the Lord? Psalm 139, just read that out to you now, verse 7 to 12, that says, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be a light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike in you. There's nowhere we can go to hide from the Lord. He's everywhere. We've got to believe that. We've got to get hold of that no matter where we, whatever we think, he knows what we're going to think before we even think it, and what we're going to say before we even say it. He's in total control. constantly in control. And one of the main points that really stood out was that Jonah knew how long Nineveh had. 40 days. I had to stop when I was reading that. I thought, wow, 40 days, that's all they had. That's all they had left before God's judgment. And they didn't know it was coming. They were still carrying on with the pagan ways every single day. Eating, drinking, sleeping. Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? Then sudden destruction comes. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And sudden destruction comes. 40 days, but the Lord sent Jonah to them and told them, you've got 40 days left. That's all you've got before my judgment falls. And they listened. That's the key point. They listened to his words. And they acted appropriately. They repented. They realized what they were doing. And God heard them. He saw their heart and he averted what he was going to do. Although it did happen after this generation had gone, another 100 years, 150 years, some people say, the city was actually destroyed. But that generation heard God. They heard what he had to say and they acted upon it. Bit different when Jesus was around. He preached the word. They didn't want to know. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want to know. How long have we got? No one knows. Only God knows. Especially in today's day. You know, we're talking about, is the rapture imminent? Is it any time now? Things are happening that have never, ever happened before in history. Ever. Prophecy is being fulfilled that has never been even thought of. Technology expanding, exploding, everything. Scripture's getting more and more exciting as you read it. Things are happening all the time. How long have we got? Is it going to be the rapture? Is it a week? Is it a month? We don't know. Have we only got 40 days left? What would you do if you knew? If you knew you only had 40 days, what would you do? What type of person would you be? Would that kick you off into reading the scriptures? Would that kick you off into going out and preaching the gospel to people? And if it does, why aren't we doing that now? We should be doing that every single day. The Lord could take us at any time. He could take me tonight. He could take me this afternoon. He could take you this afternoon. Or tonight, or whatever it might be. We don't know. Only the Lord knows when he says, okay, that's it. Your time's up now. You come on up here with me, or you're not coming up here with me. So we've got to be alert, we've got to be ready, we've got to be on fire for the Lord. We've got to pass that message on every single opportunity that we get and not wait until we've got a deadline. Oh, I better do it now. I've only got 40 days left. Are we on fire for the Lord or are we lukewarm? Revelation says, I'll spew you out my mouth. You're neither hot nor cold. I'd sooner you were cold. So what type of Christian should we be? Especially now with this lockdown. You know, we can't go out and preach the gospel now. We can't go the way we used to go, talking to people. We can't go walking around anymore. Is it going to lift? We don't know. Is it going to get worse? We don't know. Only the Lord knows. But what are we going to do? How are we going to treat this lockdown to bring glory to his name? Are we using the time if we're not working from home? Are we still reading the word? Are we getting more into the word? Are we praying more? Are we texting our friends with messages, passages, whatever it might be? We've got to. This, if we can't pray and read the word now, we never will do. Never. Never in a time before, since World War II, when everyone was on lockdown, have we had an opportunity to get close, so close to the Lord and listen to him. And as I said before, you know, if we knew we only had 40 days, or you knew your family only had 40 days, or someone you hated, they only had a few days left, what would you do? Would you go to them with the message? God didn't send Jonah to his friends, or his neighbours, or people in his own country. He sent them to a nation that hated Israel. He sent them to their enemies. would you do what Jonah did? Would I do what Jonah did? Would I go the other way? Or would I go and do what the Lord said? It's a tough question. But the Lord's coming back. You know, are we going to be in a situation where he goes, I don't know you. You didn't do it to the least of these. You didn't do it to me. What is he going to do? Well done, good and faithful servant. Blows you away. You know, we don't know how long we've got. Again, while we've only got breath in our lungs, it's breath to pass on the gospel. It's breath to pass on the message of the Lord. You can't say it. I can't say it enough anyway. We've got to be so alert. We've got to be so ready. Look at the signs. Look at what's going on in the scriptures. But he could take us at any time. That's the agency that it is. You know, we could go at any time. We might be sick, we might not be sick, we don't know. The Lord can say, like, that's it, your time's up. Have we done enough? Are we doing enough? Are we doing what he wants us to do? Or are we taking it easy until we'll get that call? We only got 40 days, we better get starting on me praying, or we writing the word. It's real, it's very, very real. Again, like I said before, the time we've got, especially today when we're on lockdown, we've got to be praying. Pray to the Heavenly Father to know him more intimately. You know, are we praying to the Heavenly Father to light a fire in our heart? Like it said in Scripture then, your word is burning inside me and I need to get it out. I knew that when I went with Ian for baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was burning inside me. There's got to be something else. This fire that was inside me, I couldn't contain it anymore because there's got to be more for the Lord. And there was. But we've got to get to that point where we can't contain it anymore. We want him. We want more and more of him. Do we pray to the Father to give us the great desire to get into his word, to open his word, to study his word like we've never done before? These are times like we've never been through before. Most of us anyway. Those who remember World War II, probably only children then. But we're all going through these amazing prophetic times together, like never before on this planet Earth. How are we reacting? The Lord's screaming out to you. He's calling and calling and calling. I'm coming back, I'm coming back. You just look at the news, you look at nature. Nature is in pain after pangs and pangs of pain. Earthquakes. Whatever's going on, economies are crashing. He is shaking the world, it says. He's shaking the world to its foundation. Nature knows. To be. Are we truly praying to the Father for a revival? True repentant revival. Not for the street, in our hearts. Revival starts within. When that's true, like in Jonah's time, they truly repented and there was a revival in that city. From the king, from the head, right the way down to the lowest person. They listened and they heard and they repented. But it's got to start with us. It's got to start with our hearts. It's got to start with you and with me getting on our knees and coming before the Lord and asking for his forgiveness with a true repentant heart. And then from that, where's it going to go? Will it spread into the family? Will it spread to the neighbours? Will it spread to the street, to the city, to live, whatever it might be? We don't know. But we've got to be there. We've got to be ready to do it. What happens after that? That's in the Lord's hands. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be the ones with the true repentant heart. It starts with us and then it spreads out. The ripples on a pond, it's one stone that goes in and then the river. They go on increasing and increasing. It happened in Nineveh. Why not here? Why not here? The Lord is coming back. We've got to read his precious word. We've got to do it privately. you've got to read it aloud. Try reading it aloud when you're on your own, when you've got time on your own. Sit there, just read the word aloud. There's something about listening to the word. You're reading it, read the Psalms, read them out aloud. Study it, digest it. We've got to get into his word more and more than ever before. What I did find from this book is it just shows the supreme love, God's supreme love, and his sovereign rule over creation. Is perfection. It's perfect. With the plant and the fish, creation, he brought it into being with his voice. Right from Genesis, he did it then. He did it in Jonah. He made the plant come up. He had the worm ready. He brought the wind in, the rain, and the storms listened to him. They knew when to stop, when to come, because he is in total control. And again, twice Jesus used the repentance of Nineveh to try and get his point across to the people of Israel at this time. He was trying to show that the hardest of hearts can be touched and be changed, but they didn't listen. And again, ultimately, Jerusalem was destroyed. 70 AD, the Romans come in and flattened it. Generation after Nineveh went back to their old pagan ways. Judgment came and fell. Pagans believed, Pharisees didn't. And Jesus said, there's one greater than Jonah here in your midst. There's one greater. God himself incarnate was there. And they didn't see him. They didn't believe him. And again, it also shows to me when I was reading it, it's like the gospel that we have now. There's no boundaries to it. There's no boundaries to God's love. It shows me that God's love, it's not solely for Israel. Yeah, they are God's chosen people. He is blessing that nation like never before. He's going to use them again in the future. He's going to bless them all, where they're all going to get saved when they cry out to him. But there's no boundaries with God's love. And there's no borders whatsoever. There's no fences. You can't box it in. Well, don't go there because they're pagans. They don't believe. God's love touches every single heart. Throughout the Old Testament, through men and women of God, have shown that his love reaches everybody. Pagan. You look at the stories of Joseph, Daniel, Jonah, Esther. They're just a few examples. But through their love for the Lord, and they're constantly on fire for the Lord and listening to him, pagan nations were touched, pagan kings were touched, and they gave glory to God through these people. No matter what the circumstances were, you look at all of those stories, they were in such dire circumstances, and yet they knew God, they knew him, and they could trust him. And they called out to him. And because of that, nations were changed. Kings' hearts were changed. They're totally on fire for God. Are we? Are we totally on fire for God? Are we hearing his word? Are we listening to his word? Are we reading his word? Are we hearing his voice? Is it burning inside us? That word. It's got to come out, or it's going to explode out. It's got to come out. When we do listen to the Lord, are we listening to our little voice in our head, or are we listening to the Spirit speaking to us? A preconceived idea we have of someone or some people. But again, God's love goes beyond that. Jonah had that preconceived idea of these people. He was more concerned with another plant, 120,000 children. God's love overshone that. It totally obliterated it. My love for them is more than you and this plant that I created, not you. You've done nothing, and you're more concerned about that. Are we like that? It's the love of Jesus. It's the gospel. Love your enemy, the Lord says. Love your enemy. do unto others as you want them to do unto you. We know the words, we know the scriptures. Are we reading it? Yeah. Are we believing it though? That's the problem. That's the problem. Do we believe it? We've got to get back with the Lord. We've got to get on fire for Him. If we can't do it today, there's never going to be a time when we can. Get that word inside you. Pray for that Holy Spirit to light that fire in your heart so His words burn and burn inside you to the point where you can't control it. You can't hold it in anymore. You've got to get it out. You've got to tell somebody of the love of Jesus, of what's going on. Only He can change. We can't change the hearts. Only He can. And that's the difference. He is the one that does it. He's in total control. He's in control of all the economies. He knows exactly what's going on in the world. He knows all about the people who are scheming and behind the scenes that we don't see. He knows it all. And He is in control. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. And the sooner that we can pass that on to other people. But it's got to start with us. We've not got to be like Jonah and run the other way. We can't hide from God. Wherever we go, we can't hide from Him. He's everywhere. We've got to listen to His voice. We've got to move where He wants us to move and say what He wants us to say. And rejoice when you see the outcome of what He's asked you to do. Whoever it might be again for, if it's an enemy, a family, whoever it might be, we've got to rejoice in Him. And give Him all the glory. Nothing to do with us. It's Him and Him alone. Hope you have a great day. And I pray that you will truly, truly seek the Lord in His mighty, mighty name.